Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. We are in a place in the Course where it is bringing you to your awareness, whether you want to hear it or not, bringing you to your awareness one of the most insidious practices the ego has. It would never admit to it, but the ego is actually putting up blocks to peace in your life. Yes, it's true. Not only peace for you, but peace for the people with whom you are around. The ego's putting up blocks to peace. And even if you ask the ego, what do you really want? I just want to be happy and peaceful and loving. If you ask the ego. Now, in the ego's world, turns out, there is an absolute substitute replacement for love. Perhaps the highest possible achievement of the human mind, you might claim, to be truly loving. Well, here we are in the ego's world, where quite a few things have been redefined to fit the ego's thought system, which is not evil. It's just mistaken. There's no evil, there's no sin. There's a dream of such things. And you're in it. Congratulations. You're dreaming of separation right now. Quite successful at it. You've made this many separate beings just in this room alone. Sometimes you even think of yourself as more than one person. Is that true? Anywhere you can, you slip in differences. Differences. Seeking somehow that these differences will make things more sensible. It is separation. And it is the exact opposite of oneness. And all the benefits that oneness brings. Well, the place we are on the course right now is taking issue with the blocks to peace. And it has a couple of takes on that. And perhaps the biggest block to peace is this investment in one of these. You got one? Everybody's got one. You wore it in tonight. Your body. You brought it in. It's so personal, your body. Somebody calls your name and it turns the head and says, yes. Even those people in the world that claim to be the most enlightened, when you say their name, they go, what? Right? It's a real addiction that comes with being here. This body. So Course in Miracles is very gently, but very certainly, walking us through how we use the body as an identity, which turns out to be the perfect block to what we really want. Now, perhaps the most potent of all the ego's tricks. Ego's just a thought system, by the way. It's no body. There's no devil. As close as you can get to the devil that I learned in Catholic school would be this ego character were it to have a mind of its own. Of course, as it does not. The ego is the decision you make to feed the dogs of separation. And they do get hungry. So perhaps the most difficult trick in this separation mindset, hardest one to get by, it's so potent when it happens and so irreversible, is death. Living a long happy-go-lucky life, but then there's death. We all know, of course, it's coming. there are even those who would describe something living by its ability to die. Get this twisted thought. You Course in Miracles students, you've already come down this road some and have found so much light in here. Get this twisted thought, that you remember this thought about the world. That it says something can only die because it was living. Therefore, life culminates in death. Death is the completion of life. Can you remember thinking these thoughts? Have you ever had those thoughts? Does that sound crazy? Welcome to the world. So, Course in Miracles has to gently pry open that thought system, because it seems more real than any book, right? There was a time when the book didn't exist, and then there was a time the book did exist, but death has always been around. You might default to death being more real than anything I'm saying tonight, just on that basis alone. Well, now welcome to A Course in Miracles, whose time has come. A Course in Miracles is a wake-up from the ego to you as spirit. A wake-up from you as a body that dies to you as spirit. So, with that as an introduction, rather than having a meditation tonight that we normally do, I'd like to play for you one of the things we're going to be studying the next couple of nights. And it's Lesson 167. Oh, yeah. In fact, you might want to make a note somewhere in your book that if death enters your life, whether it's your kitty cat or your grandma, you might want to come to this particular lesson. There are several places in the book and a couple of lessons that deal directly with death. We spent last week with one of them, but why? I really like 167. Let's listen in.
Lesson 167. There is one life, and that I share with God. There are not different kinds of life, for life is like the truth. It does not have degrees. It's the one condition in which all that God created share. Like all God's thoughts, life has no opposite. There is no death, because what God created shares His life. There is no death, because an opposite to God does not exist. There is no death, because the Father and the Son are one. In this world, there appears to be a state that is life's opposite. You call it death, yet we have learned that the idea of death takes many forms. It is the one idea which underlies all feelings that are not supremely happy. Death is the alarm to which you give response of any kind that is not perfect joy. All sorrow, loss, anxiety, and suffering and pain, even a little sigh of weariness, a slight discomfort, or the merest frown, acknowledge death, and thus deny you live. You think that death is of the body, yet it is but an idea, irrelevant to what is seen as physical. A thought is in the mind. It can then be applied as mind directs it, but its origin is where it must be changed, if change occurs. Ideas leave not their source. The emphasis this course has placed on that idea is due to its centrality in our attempts to change your mind about yourself. It is the reason you can heal. It is the cause of healing. It is why you cannot die. Its truth established you as one with God. Death is the thought that you are separate from your Creator. It is the belief conditions change, emotions alternate, because of causes you cannot control, you did not make, and you can never change. Death is the fixed belief ideas can leave their source and take on qualities the source does not contain, becoming different from their own origin, apart from it in kind as well as distance, time, and form. Death cannot come from life. Ideas remain united to their source. They can extend all that their source contains, in that they can go far beyond themselves. But ideas cannot give birth to what was never given them. As they are made, so will their making be. As they were born, so will they give birth. And where they come from, there will they return. The mind can think it sleeps, but that is all. It cannot change what is its waking state. It cannot make a body, nor abide within a body. What is alien to the mind does not exist, because it has no source. For mind creates all things that are, and cannot give them attributes it lacks, nor change its own eternal, mindful state. Mind cannot make the physical. What seems to die is but the sign of mind asleep. The opposite of life can only be another form of life. As such, it can be reconciled with what created it, because it is not opposite in truth. Its form may change, it may appear to be what it is not, yet mind is mind, awake or sleeping. It is not its opposite in anything created, nor in what it seems to make when it believes it sleeps. God creates only mind awake. He does not sleep, and his creations cannot share what he gives not, nor make conditions which he does not share with them. The thought of death is not the opposite of thoughts of life, forever unopposed by opposites of any kind. The thoughts of God remain forever changeless, with the power to extend forever changelessly, but yet within themselves, for they are everywhere. What seems to be the opposite of life is merely sleeping. When the mind elects to be what it is not, and to assume an alien power which it does not have, a foreign state it cannot enter, or a false condition not within its source, it merely seems to go to sleep a while. It dreams of time, an interval in which what seems to happen never has occurred. The changes wrought are substanceless, and all events are nowhere. When the mind awakes, it but continues as it always was. Let us today be children of the truth, and not deny our holy heritage. Our life is not as we imagine it. Who changes life because he shuts his eyes, or makes himself what he is not because he sleeps and sees in dreams an opposite to what he is? We will not ask for death in any form today, nor will we let imagined opposites to life abide even an instant where the thought of life eternal has been set by God himself. His holy home we strive to keep today, as he established it, and wills it be forever and forever. He is Lord of what we think today, and in his thoughts, which have no opposite, we understand there is one life, and that we share with God, with all creation, with their thoughts as well, whom he created in a unity of life that cannot separate in death and leave the source of life from where it came. We share one life because we have one source, a source from which all perfection comes to us, remaining always in the holy minds which he created perfect. As we were, so are we now, and will forever be. A sleeping mind must waken as it sees its own perfection mirroring the Lord of Life so perfectly it fades into what is reflected there. And now it is no more a mere reflection. It becomes the thing reflected and the light which makes reflection possible. No vision now is needed, for the wakened mind is one that knows its source, itself, its holiness.
The awakened mind is not born, reborn. The awakened mind recognizes it what its perceptions were. The truth.
What's that?
In what perceptions were, the awakened mind sees the truth. Now, as the Course says, the perceptions, you see with your eyes, right? Perceptions is eyes, and the mind judging what it sees. The separated mind judges what it sees based on separation. Enlightenment is that same scenario, not some wholly different experience that only comes when a lightning bolt happens to strike you in the back of the head. Enlightenment comes in an ordinary moment. When what you see, what you're witnessing, that was made to separate, now that same thing works to rejoin you with all the power there is. That is enlightenment. Of course. It just means the truth has come. And as that beautiful last couple sentences said, the truth is reflected now and what you see. And so are you. The real you. The capital you. That's what it means to wake up. And then you are rejoined with what always was. And you recognize in that moment the continuity and all the power that you wielded to make such a wild dream of separation. And a good belly laugh is due at that moment. How much you believed in this crazy thing called death. Wow. Anybody? What's a quick definition of death?
And?
Biological, ceasing of biological function.
A ceasing of biological function.
So lifelessness.
Lifelessness.
How about the end of
an
illusion?
End of an illusion.
Yeah.
What the... Wow, whoa. End of function, end of... What if that wasn't possible in truth? Of course it's not only possible in the world, it's super practical. I mean, I drove by a cemetery just to get here. I think maybe two, actually. So it's practical on one level, and of course obvious on one level, and yet, in Course in Miracles, there's only two levels. Oh, thank God, Adeline. There aren't 99 levels or 100 things to try. No, just two. Just truth and false. Love and fear. That's it. And how different is love from fear? How different is life from death? Yeah. Plenty different. And so it's part of the simplicity of A Course in Miracles is when you start to grapple with these terms and you start to put them in contrast, you can now catch your thoughts and decide, well, is this a death thought or is this a life thought? Let me see. That'd be a typical workbook lesson. You'd be like, beep, 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 beep. Timer goes off. I need the timer. I just forget all the... Beep, beep, beep. What type of thought are you having now, Andrew? Well, busted. That would be a wake-up moment. Where I could see whatever situation I was doing during the day, whether it was, you know, a broken teapot, or maybe I just planted a flower 3 days ago and it looks like it's taking the sun and the water, it's working. Where I could take a situation and let it be translated with a higher standard, with truth, with life versus death. Oh, yeah. That's a wake-up. They happen all the time, but when I'm doing the workbook lessons, they really happen all the time. I'm doing them every day. This book has a section in the middle. It's 365 lessons, one for each day of the year. The only rule in the entire book is 1,300 pages. It's just one rule. That is, just do one lesson a day. It says you don't have to believe them. In fact, you're going to argue with a lot of them. But just, you know, let them do their thing. Let them just listen in. See what happens.
Isn't it, don't do two lessons in one day.
Yep.
And if you want to take longer on any particular lesson, you can.
Yes.
No problem.
No problem.
You don't have to do one every single day.
That's true. That's right. That's true. Although a lot of people who've done the workbook might say, oh my God, don't fret too much about any one lesson if you're not getting it right. The next lesson is going to explain the one you were sweating on so much. You may as well. March. By the way, I finished recording the entire workbook. It took me a couple of years to get around to it, but if anybody wants it, it's on my website.
Right.
And now you can have me read the workbook to you.
I'll walk right on it.
Yeah. It's probably the last thing you should have in audio, especially if you're new to a course. The other things like the manual for teachers, get it. Supplements, get it. Text, absolutely. So you can hear that and integrate it. But the workbook is something you really should be doing in the first time for sure, doing it on the paper. Yeah.
I saw an interesting thing on PBS last night about language and rhythm that I don't think you get when you read necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might get it to some degree when you're reading it, but I would think audio brings that musical rhythmic. It's a part of our neural cortex processing. That rhythm helps us process the information and file it.
Look at the inflection in his voice and the pauses that he used. Intentionally and by choice, every word and phrase he just used, he delivered with a bit of a sing-song that we all recognize as part of what he means. Absolutely, my friend.
Yeah. So I really believe in the audio quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I did it. I was so amazed by... And this course was audio more than it, you know, wasn't. Helen heard it.
Mm.
And you kind of get that the way it's written. It's kind of spoken. Okay, so let's dig in. We have so much to cover. So, first off, let's go to page 418 in the text. And Adeline, am I remembering your name right?
Adeline.
That's helping. The book, the page numbers restart four times.
Oh.
Because it was separate volumes and they were all stitched together into what you have. So now in the very front of the book, start with those page numbers and get to page 418. It's about a third of the way into the book. We're on paragraph 6. Are you ready?
Okay. You who are dedicated to the incorruptible have been given through your acceptance the power to release from corruption. What better way to teach the first and fundamental principle in A Course on Miracles than by showing you the one that seems to be the hardest can be accomplished first. The body can but serve your purpose. As you look on it, so will it seem to be. Death, were it true, would be the final and complete disruption of communications, which is the ego's goal.
Oh, we definitely have to dig in here. Okay.
I enjoy listening.
Nice. Before we dig into this paragraph. Let's go pick up a few paragraphs from 167. So keep your finger here and jump into the workbook on page
318.
Thank you. 318 in the workbook. All right. I can't believe that we're about to be given so many clues that I've never heard discussed under any other topic, discipline, spiritual teaching. Course in Miracles really hits this topic. I mean, what a gift we have that we can come together and learn this. I mean, this is blows me away. And I can't have one of my intensives, because if I put death on them, nobody's going to come. So we just have to do what we can here. But it is really worth some time, because it's so liberating. This is okay, so. Bridget, would you read for us paragraph 1 of lesson 167?
There are not different kinds of life, for life is like the truth. It does not have degrees. It is the one condition in which all that God created share. Like all his thoughts, it has no opposite. There is no death because what God created shares his life. There is no death because an opposite to God does not exist. There is no death because the Father and Son are one.
Wow! Black and white. There are not different kinds of life, for life is like the truth, and there aren't different kinds of truth. Here we go. We're starting to talk metaphysical. We're not going to split hairs on this is true, this is part true, this is more true. No, we're going metaphysical here on aspects of truth. Well, among any discussion in truth, it would have to be, well, truth is and always is, and there are no exceptions. There we go. That's truth. Whew. Nice and simple. I'm liking it. Okay? One type of truth. Because all things you might call truth will share this attribute, that there are no exceptions to it. And the Course hits that in lesson 133 pretty heavy. But for now, we're just going to stick with the simple idea that the truth is true. It's always true. Okay, now.
Can I ask?
Yes.
So, do you think that, like, our practice of everything is so, like, binary is part of, like, the separation, and that's, like, a human thing to do, is to make all these, like, opposites and everything binary?
Yeah. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. In fact, the binary nature of things is because of the powers. One power exists, the other one had to be invented to oppose the truth. And it's like having a scale. And in order to invent a separate existence where, you know, God, you're unaware of God. You're like the prodigal son leaving home. Had to go far enough away that he couldn't run back to his comfortable bed and the food and the all things of his house. He really wanted to be his own person. He had to leave. For you to leave the truth as an extension of God, had to invent another power. Had to invent two powers. And get this, the power you invented had to be as strong in its effects as the truth. Otherwise, you could never adventure into separation and be in a body. Completely oblivious of oneness and live with two and more. You couldn't do it if the truth still was in your awareness. So you'd need to invent a power so strong it can deny God. In this book, all God means is the truth. Just what is. You have to be able to deny in order so you can have something different. Wow! But guess what? That is in your toolbox. I got proof. You did it. Yes?
So, what I'm reading from this paragraph, it's real powerful to me, that, and from what Cecily was saying, we kind of dwell on this binary world, this, you know, and this separation, but the way back to, you know, God or the force of, you know, that you feel is to look for sameness and similarities in people. And the biggest similarity that people have is life. Yeah. Life force.
The life force. That mysterious thing. Yeah.
I think it's so interesting that the like gender non-binary movement that's happening with young people now, where they're like, no, I'm not gay, I'm not transgender, I'm just gender neutral.
Uh-huh.
And it's like more and more, you know, people are being born and identifying this way. Yeah. And it felt very like spiritual to me when I think about it. It's like, yeah, why are we distinguishing male, female, you know? It's
yeah.
Like, and all these people are like at great pain to their, you know, existence by being, you know, excluded or whatever, are like, no, I'm just a being. I'm not a gender. It's pretty interesting.
And what a freedom thought to be able to release the social requirement to pick one. Just because of, you know, physiology.
I think they're just trying to have more chances of getting a date.
No, I knew a guy that was absolutely bi, and he had no qualms. He says, "You are missing out, buddy. He's not going to piss the books worlds."
I'm sorry.
Okay, you know, but it was very free. Yes.
The thing when we read this that struck me was, I have a friend I've had many spiritual discussions with, but he is a die-hard atheist.
Uh-huh.
One day he came back to me and said, "Anthony, I think I can believe in reincarnation." I'm like, "What?" And he said, "Well, if given that infinity exists," and that was his big thing, infinity exists, that's the given, said, "then there is a mathematical equation that describes what's going on exactly right now, this conversation that we're having, what's going on in this room, that can be described. Infinity is greater. Therefore, this will happen again."
There's a huge philosophical background to what Anthony just said. Laplace's demon even has a name. What he just described. There was a philosopher back in, I don't know, 1600 or something, Laplace's demon. And he simply described that if everything is, if infinity and eternally, if it all truly is, then you could mathematically perfectly describe every cause and every effect.
Essentially, what he's talking about.
Perfect precision. You could measure it, predict if this thing falls and hits that, this will fall. I'll tell you exactly when it's going to hit the ground. No problem. Just give me enough input. Yeah.
So there's nothing predictable, unpredictable?
According to Laplace's demon, nothing unpredictable if you just have enough information.
Oh.
Like all of it.
Yeah, good
all
luck
of it.
On
the
that.
Butterfly flap his wings in Japan in 1922. That's why the wind's blowing now. Oh, it's a lot of data. That's all you know. But what you said is exactly right. Where we're going with all this and the binary nature of things is the second force to combat the first force that, you know, we were trying not to live. We want to experiment this different, be our own God, and try to separate. The awakening comes, and the gift comes when presented with a binary nature. We can see the similarities. In fact, what happens with your spiritual awakening is that the differences that we saw before are no longer valid. They are what is made up. The differences that your eyes report are fantasies made up. When the differences are real, trying to go the route of seeing the sameness, that feels like it's kind of makety-uppity. The whole God concept is just makety-uppity. It's a whole dream that there's some central knowing or creating, but nobody ever seen this thing. So it's a lot more realistic just to stick with the separate pieces, because that I can see, touch, feel, draw, paint, write songs about, etc. But as you have a spiritual awakening, you begin to see what's under the soil. You begin to see what's in the post. You begin to see how close is that post, which is, by the way, although we call it wood, it's made of hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, carbon,
lignum.
Lignum. So am I. Hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon. In fact, if we pull out the periodic table, we make a list of what's in that post, a list of what's in me, the biggest objects are all going to be not only similar, they'll be in a similar proportions. Especially if it was fresh with water in it.
But that's comparing like our bodies. If you're talking about like personalities,
yes.
Or, you know, like,
yes.
Who people are, that's different.
That's different. That moves into the discussion of the invisible. When we start out, we have to deal with the visible. And it's all the same discussion. When we get to personalities, when we get to love, when we get to even hatred, when we get to the ego, can't see an ego, and yet we got a name for it. Well, let's start with the easier one, because exact same discussion. That post, I can see and feel, and yet I believe it very separate from me. But you can start to see the similarities, and rather than being so far apart, whoa, they get close fast. Just talking physical for a moment, because it's the same discussion. When you go beyond, let's just take one of these elements. Let's take hydrogen. H2O, hydrogen, oxygen, right? Hydrogen, a part of water, big component of things that are living. Hydrogen, proton, neutron, electron. Okay? So is molybdenum, only it's more protons.
Lignum.
Lignum.
Look it up.
And copper and iron and also other things that are in your body. Those are just names, aren't they? When you take a copper atom and break it apart, we're just going to count the protons and neutrons, electrons, and say, well, now it's copper because it has 27 protons. And oxygen only has, what, two?
Eight.
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 Oxygen's eight.
There you go. That's what makes it oxygen. If it had nine, it'd be the next thing on the periodic table. Okay? So now, they're just protons. Counting of protons, that's it. They're so same. How close are we now? You're not something special because you got copper in you. You just got a few more protons concentrated. We call it copper. It's the same thing as oxygen. It's just a different count. But Andrew, I can't see oxygen and you can see copper. You're going back to separation, aren't you? Come to the same. Come to the sameness for just a few moments. It just takes an instant to allow your mind to see how much we all have in common. Every living thing has in common. To let the differences go just for a moment, it's all it takes. And it starts to bring you back into what's really going on here. Of Course in Miracles has a term for this whole process. Christ's vision. It's Christ's vision. Vision instead of sight. The book uses the word sight. It means your eyeballs. It's something your ego made to witness separation. And then we say vision, it's with your mind that you would use for the similarities and continue your awakening. Very good. Thank you. Good question. Okay. Please interrupt anytime, guys, because we just want to surface this material. That's what we do. Okay, so now, as Course in Miracles' typical fashion, Once it says one of these big truths, he takes out the hammer, he hits the same nail a few times to make sure you got it. Bang, bang. And here it comes again. He says, not different kind of lives. Okay, life does not have degrees. It's the one condition in which all that God created share. Like God's thoughts, life has no opposite. He says, look, there's no death. Because what God created shares God's life. Short definition of God is. Just is.
I am.
I am. And the I is extra.
Am.
Just am. Good night. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
There's no death because an opposite God does not exist. There is no death because the Father and the Son are one. Oh boy. There goes your whole dream of separation and actually being this cherished Son of God. There goes your whole dream of being... What?
Being special.
Exactly. Being special with a capital S. There it goes.
Okay, no wonder I'm stuck on number lesson 78. I've been working on it for 3 days now.
Okay.
And I mean really working. I've written 4 pages of notes.
Which one is 78?
Let miracles replace all grievances. Oh. It's about finding somebody that you have a huge grievance against.
Oh, nice.
I chose the biggest one and I said, are you sure you want me to take one so big? Because I could do somebody that doesn't mean that much. And it said, yep, do the big one.
Oh, yes.
So I've been writing and writing and writing. And
what
I
a gift.
Believe I'm only about halfway through with it.
Nice. What a gift to take the biggest one. What a gift.
Yeah, but it's hard. It makes my stomach ache every time I think about it.
Well, A Course in Miracles is, it is a radical spirituality. There are slower, gentler ways. But there's, I don't know, I haven't found anything as direct as this. And so it says, you know what, let's just go for it.
And well, I'm going for it, but my ego is saying, don't go for it, don't go for it. You're not going to be able to do this. Forget this lesson 78 thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you do it, in fact, it's saying.
Yeah. Never underestimate the ego. That is for sure. Okay. Well, you ready? You're going to reinforce paragraph 2 of lesson 167?
In this world, there appears to be a state that is life's opposite. We call it death. Yet we have learned that the idea of death takes many forms. It is the one idea which underlies all feelings that are not supremely happy. It is the alarm to which you give response of any kind that is not perfect joy. All sorrow, loss, anxiety, and suffering and pain, even a little sigh of weariness, a slight discomfort or the merest frown, acknowledge death, and thus deny you life.
Thus you deny you live. That's how you deny you are living, is that you perceive loss. To Course in Miracles, any kind of loss is death. To the author of this book, who is awake from the dream, he says, wow, any time you have a thought of incompleteness, of loss, this exact same as a death, permanent possibility of end, because it is an end. It is an end. Any type of loss, any type of victimhood, where you are not in power, means you are in, swimming around in separation and idolizing it and celebrating it, exercising it, teaching it, sharing it. And it's all the same level as death. So we could just call it death, because it's a great summary of everything here that lives, dies. Just for the sake of understanding what we're talking about. We're talking about limit. And you, the true you, it just said it. You are an extension of God.
and can't.
Therefore, you cannot die.
Thank you. So you must be dreaming up some fantastical way that you can. That's what the book is saying. That's what we're here to study.
Henry might have told it a bit. Mm-hmm. They would, that avenue, the, they have to call it on the, you have to walk on the pyramid. So you walk down and you're letting go of all these deaths. Death happens all the time. You're always dying. It's all the stuff you're letting go of, kind of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to what they're talking about. It's pretty cool.
So in Course in Miracles, we have the triad. The triad of A Course in Miracles, the way this book works, what you go through every time you have an awakening, is this triad of three things. One is the miracle. The miracle is a shift in perception. A shift in perception of what you're seeing. It's like, in other spiritual pursuits, that you would have, an awakening. You're not fully enlightened yet, but you had an awakening. Oh my God, I just saw a truer nature about this thing. That's a miracle. A shift in perception. Then, number two, is forgiveness. Oh, people would love to skip the miracle, go straight to forgiveness. Because they so want to be at peace. They know how not to swear. They know how not to fight. They know how to be more generous. They know how to be kinder. Just ask your mother. She'll tell you the right way to do it. Ask your special partner. They'll tell you how to do it. Oh, we have... let me show you how to forgive, they would say. Here's what you need. Whoa. Course in Miracles says, if you don't do the miracle first, which is shift in perception about what it is you're trying to forgive, you're lying to yourself. And it'll come right back, and you might be twice as angry when it does. And then you'll doubt that forgiveness works at all. But you didn't do A Course in Miracles forgiveness.
Well, so in other words, you're saying that if you don't have the miracle first, you're not coming from a genuine place. It's not going to be real. When you forgive that person.
High five, fist bump.
Well, it'll be making it real.
It won't be, yes?
It'll be making it real.
Oh! Here is a student of A Course in Miracles. The world's forgiveness makes the problem real.
Yeah, it gives you a reason to hate. So when it's not, by making it real.
And it gives you a reason for somebody else to apologize to you and make you feel special because you did not punish them for that horrible thing they did. But saying the horrible thing they did makes the thing they did real, and the whole world is cemented right in place. Guilt is deserved. Punishment should follow. At least a big apology, and if you can muster a few tears, maybe I'll believe you.
Yeah, if you look good. I've noticed when you have that miracle, for the difference I notice is like if you're looking at, oh, I'm going to forgive that person, but you just, it doesn't feel right.
Right.
It's like, it's phony. But if you get the miracle and then you forget, it's cool. Whoa, that was easy. Why didn't I do this all the time?
Yes.
It's like, well, that's so different. Now it's like, of course I'm going to forgive him. Why would I not?
Genuine. It's so different. When truth is in tow.
Until now, I couldn't explain that.
That's right.
This, what I'm talking about, I was like, that was perfect. But I didn't know why that sometimes it would happen. And so now I know exactly why.
That's what it is. A healed mind is forgiving. The perspective is shifted when you listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll walk you through forgiveness based on the miracle. Forgiveness is the home of miracles. It's at home of miracles, yes.
Now, I don't know if this is a shift in perception or not, but to me it definitely was. Because I belong to AA, and the main place I go to is the fellowship downtown. That is the front lines of alcoholism. I mean, you're right next to the levee. You get it all. And when I first went there... I didn't realize how prejudiced I was about, but that shifted my perception big time, because it didn't matter if you were black or Hispanic or white or what, they were all brought down to the lowest of the low, and at that point I could see compassion for any one of them.
Like that. Yes, indeed. Compassion is another way of saying...
That was a wake-up call. Absolutely. I was like, holy cow, my prejudice.
What a gift. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. In this world, there appears to be a state that is life's opposite. You call it death. Yet we've learned that the idea of death takes many forms. It's the one idea which underlies all... There's that word, A-L-L, all... All feelings that are not supremely happy. There you go. There's something nice to meditate on. To wake up to how to recognize the ego and its ways. It is really a high bar. It didn't just say happy. It said supremely happy. Have you ever been supremely happy?
Well, then that's one of the ways you could recognize the truth.
Thank you.
It's like when I said that one time about the Sistine Chapel.
Yes. Like that?
Not about supreme happiness.
That like that?
That's a way to recognize truth as opposed to lying to yourself.
And when you're in the moment with the two or three other musicians and you all had this unique rap that you were working on, each one of you was contributing, and it kind of had a rhythm and you all knew it, even though it wasn't written and never existed before, but it was happening. It was alive. That is alive. There's a supremely happy moment. As a joining occurred. A joining occurred through and from, and don't forget, to, all in that one moment. Absolutely.
That sentence also explains suffering, because if you're having all these thoughts that are denying being supremely happy, you're always feeling a sense of struggle, because your true nature is to be supremely happy, but then you have these tendencies that run counter to that.
Yes.
So that sets up a struggle.
It sets up a struggle.
Or, you know, suffering.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because the truth is true, and it's always true, the truth has what I like to call a gravity of its own. A gravity of its own. And then the closer you get to something, the more its gravity takes over. Okay, so also does the chaotic side, fear and defensiveness and anger. Those all have gravities of their own. And the more angry you get, the closer you get to somebody who is angry, and you start mapping into them, or sick, it's all these things, you start to get sucked in. And you too are feeling that. That's right. That's the binary nature that Cecily was talking about. There had to be an invention of differences, real differences. They're each equally powerful. Everybody says, no, Andrew, love will cure all. Love is more powerful than fear. Just love. Can't you just love, Kenny? All your problems will go away.
Good.
Did you know, Adeline, you're just perfect the way you are. Don't change anything. Your life will be perfect. She's like, oh, I don't know. This morning wasn't so perfect. Maybe I should try to change maybe something. Yeah, welcome to A Course in Miracles. Because we're here to change everything. We're here to find the love underneath the fear. We use love and fear in the same sentence here. Fear is a quote. Fear is a call for love. Fear is a call for love. Fear is a call for love. In unconscious recognition of the love that's been denied. So.
Andrew, can you finish your triad? A miracle, forgiveness.
Thank you.
Just
absolutely. Thank you for putting me back on track. Fundamental method, of Course in Miracles.
I don't want to have an empty three here.
Absolutely. The miracle first, which is a shift in perception, and that's what we call in spirituality an awakening, right? A correction, right? From wrong to right. But you're not done, because you still have the habits of hate and fear and being a human and small and, oh, I was so guilty for what I did to him, even though... You need forgiveness now. Number two, forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Why? Forgiveness is release of your stinking thinking that was before the miracle. You have still a pattern of thoughts that, check it out, folks, first 10 lessons of the workbook, you're preoccupied with the past. You believe first what you knew before what you know now. You first check out to make sure it measures up with the past that you know before you're willing to move ahead. You're stuck with the ego. You're drowning in the past. The past is over. You know what you need? You need a miracle. And now you need forgiveness to integrate the miracle into your life. Because your mind, your habits, your thoughts, your dreams even, will come back to haunt you with what you've been doing for so many years. But when it's time to wake up and there has been a miracle, the miracle is not enough. As the Course says 3 or 4 times, readiness is not mastery. No. Turns out, you need to release the old thoughts you had. Catch those old thoughts. Let the miracle be true by releasing the old thoughts. So that's number 2 of the triad. Now, number 3. The holy instant. Do you know holy is based on W-H-O-L-L-Y? No. Holy. Inclusiveness. When you see the similarities, it's a holiness. Literally. A holy instant is when you are faced with a difficulty that you are accustomed to struggling with. And the miracle and forgiveness are both instantly present. There's no exercise going on here. There's just an acceptance of right-mindedness. And you see how you can be at peace now, and it's more true than when you were angry before. That is a celebration we call the holy instant. And it completes the triad of how A Course in Miracles works with your mind, your separate mind. It calls us you separated ones. It's how A Course in Miracles takes us step 1, step 2, step 3.
So, quick question.
Yep.
So let's say anger, something like that. And then the miracle is you change your perception about what is making you angry.
Yes.
And then you are able to forgive yourself about it and release it. Therefore, the holy is the next time a situation like that comes up again, you're able to laugh at it at that point because you realize it's not true.
Like that. And it may even be the same time. They can come, boom, boom, boom. They can actually happen all simultaneous because there is no time. But you're absolutely right. That's laughter is an antidote to all types of this poverty. Mental poverty, physical poverty, spiritual poverty. Laughter is one sure sign that you have transcended. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff. Good, good. Yeah. Very important.
Okay. And does the book use the word holy with W-H? Or
The word is in the book, but it doesn't use it in the, as I just did.
No, okay.
Ben describes what I did.
Capital H.
Yeah, correct. Capital H, that's right. Okay, so we probably better stop here and go back to our reading. Yep, let's do that. Okay, so back to page 418. You see how fundamental this discussion is? In order for you to even have freedom, the spiritual freedom, there has to be a releasing of the habitual mind, the one that practices death in so many ways, other than death of the body. There's so many other limiting practices. We got to catch it. Okay. All right. Now, so let's hit paragraph 6 again. So, Jeff, would you read that for us, paragraph 6 on 418?
You who are dedicated to the incorruptible have been given, through your acceptance, the power to release from corruption. What better way to teach the first and fundamental principle in A Course of Miracles than by showing you that the one seems to be the hardest can be accomplished first? The body can serve your purpose. As you look onto it, so will it seem to be. Death, were it true, would be the final and complete disruption of communication, which is the ego's goal.
Okay, so there you go. Okay, so you who are you, and that really you should be capitalized. It is at the beginning of a sentence, but it would be otherwise now because you're in your awakened mind. You who are dedicated to the incorruptible, it's not going to be your ego. The ego is dedicated to the corruptible. It's very safe and happy there. So now it's talking about a healed mind. As you awaken, you become dedicated to life. Spirit. Being what we just read in that workbook lesson, you're actually the Son of God. Son just means an extension, a direct extension of. Okay, that's incorruptible. You who are dedicated to the incorruptible have been given. How did it happen? Through your acceptance. Not forced on you, not beat into you, not required in any way. It's by your voluntary acceptance and knowingness of the truth. And we said, the truth is true always. It has a gravity of its own, and the closer you get to it, it will pull you. And you will gladly, not push you, it will pull you as you recognize yourself, as you recognize your own, what you want the most. It's not a resistance occurs. That kind of acceptance. And indeed, you're one thought away from such an acceptance always. Okay. So through your acceptance, bingo, the power to release, and that is triad step number two, the power to release, that's forgiveness. The power to release from corruption. Corruption would just be another word for the ego's ways. Separation. What better way, Luann, to teach the first and fundamental principle in A Course in Miracles, what better way than by showing you that the one that seems to be the hardest darn thing I can come up with, it turns out that that can be accomplished first, and that that would be the kindest possible thing to give you if I could, is to have the toughest one removed. And all the others will seem so much less. You can laugh about the worst one. You can certainly handle the ones that are not as bad. And A Course in Miracles, anybody remember miracle principle number one, other than Masako?
I remember where it is in the book.
All right, good. That's a good start. Yeah. Now, the first miracle principle is this one. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or easier, or bigger or smaller than another. All expressions of love are maximal. The point is, there aren't levels of difficulty in the world when the world is a, wait for it, dream. Because nothing in a dream is true. You may dream of something larger or smaller, but it doesn't make it larger or smaller. It just makes it a dream still. It's why we have such great analogy saying, wake up. And enlightenment is waking up. I just love it that it's so common. It is so perfect. This book uses it all over. And you recognize the dream. It's not so hard when, and your children are in it, and your pets are in it, and your favorite artwork is in it. You're going to leave that behind. Oh, wait a minute. Not only is it a dream, it's your dream. That you can redream as much as you want. The problem is you think that it is your life, the dream. The problem is you think that this is you, and the only aspect of you is that body. That's the problem. Not a sin, just a mistake. A Course in Miracles is going to wake you up to an awareness that you are not a body. One. Two, you are free.
Well, is that the same thing as saying that you're perceptions, your opinions are, you think your perceptions and opinions are real, but they're not?
Yes.
and you think that your attitudes, your morality is real, but they're not.
Yes. You're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
The other thing it's saying is, if I'm not my body, then neither is all those people I've separated from. So if I judge them by what their body is doing, that's part of my dream.
Yes.
It's a big part of my dream.
Yes. And you even judge yourself for what they say about you.
And I even judge myself for judging them.
Oh, boy. True.
That's neurotic.
That's why psychologists become psychologists. We're neurotic.
Yeah, that's right. Physician, heal thyself.
Yeah.
Get into the middle of it. That's right.
That makes it a little bit easier.
Covers it in chapter 27 very nicely.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't gotten that far.
Yes. Oh, what a gift when you do. Yes. Whew. Sentence 3. The body can, optionally, but serve your purpose. You choose the purpose. And then when you do, that's all you're going to get. Because you are not a victim. Not to the ego, not to God. You are not a victim to anger. You're not a victim to happiness. That's kind of good news and bad news right there. But it's fundamentally true. If you're a creator, you will only have what you create. If you're an extension of the One, you will only have what you extend yourself. Because there's only one. There's no other to extend to you joy, love, comfort.
So you're manifesting all these attributes of quote-unquote reality.
Yes. And you will get what you think. You creator you.
Yeah, read the next sentence. There it is.
Isn't it also true then that...
There it is.
That we, as we choose to dream, for instance, we could choose to only love, and we could use our body for money gathering. If we're dreaming, it's a dream and not choosing love, then we're not going to feel very good. And if we're choosing love, we're going to be supremely happy.
Yes.
So it's a matter of what we want to choose for ourselves.
That's exactly what it is. And that's lesson 34?
Oh my God, I already did that one.
Do it again.
Oh. I personally have found once through the book is not enough. Yeah.
Even if I do 4 or 10 days worth of study,
I know.
One lesson.
Yeah, because you're a child. Ego filled for those 4 days. And you were just a little better by the end of the 4th day. That's how I was. I was like, wow, this is good stuff. Yeah. Next year through, whoa, a whole different human being. A whole different being of awareness reads it next year.
It's, I'm hoping I'm going to be through with all the lessons by the time I'm 80. You think there's a chance?
There's a great chance. Yeah. Masako.
Okay. I want to say 2 things. Mm. One is that the only way I can comprehend the idea that I am free is to, when I think of me being the spirit, that's the only time that I totally can embody that I am free. Because this energy, this unmanifested, this force, it's not this.
Yes.
You know, so nothing's going to damage it.
That's
it's
true.
Impossible.
Yes.
Just on a physical level.
Yes.
The second piece is using the body for spiritual purpose, right? Or another way than what the ego, how we've been leading most of our lives, is, as an example, my communication is also using my body. And that is probably the biggest way that it serves me. And on Monday, I emailed two women that I see at least once a month. And I've always had some judgments about them. And it's been going on for a while. And I never felt this sense of urgency because they're not in my life every day. So I sort of, you know, let it go because there's other things that I have to address. So anyway, Monday I thought, enough. And I sent an email out to them. I said, hey, how about reconnecting? Let's go have some coffee. They responded right away. I saw one woman yesterday. I saw the other one this morning. And basically, I told them, I said, hey, I want to take responsibility because I sort of pooped in our interaction, and you probably didn't have any idea. But I wanted to tell you that I did blah, 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 and I want to apologize if I left you feeling like, oh, God, how come she's not talking to me anymore? What did I do? And anyway, so I said whatever it was that needed to be said, and they said what they said. The result, this is what I'm trying to get to, the result was there was a sense of, I was just in the moment, I was present, and the most sacred piece of the way I felt was I felt more love available in here. And I didn't even know that obstacle that I was holding on to with these two women had that much of an impact.
Beautiful. Beautifully said.
Yeah,
absolutely. Beautifully said. A really great, it's a great discussion of how a breakdown in communication is handy for separation and the ego.
In the practical real world.
Yes.
Day in, day out, bullshit world.
Yes.
It also exemplifies those three those three steps.
That's right. Yes.
The miracle of forgiveness.
That's
and
right.
Yep.
First change how you see it, then change how you're thinking about it, and then experience the reunification of all pieces. Just like
I heard that there was that thought or feeling that came up that maybe there's some kind of unfinished business here. There's just a little soft communication. This is something that you might want to take a look at.
Take a look at is the point. That's where she started. She says, I'm going to take a look at this.
And so that those things are coming to me,
right?
Or us, maybe.
Yes.
Often. But am I open to just that little, hey, how about... What about this? Because there's something here.
And look how she described it. She said, there's something here, at least for her. She didn't know about the other people, what they thought, who knows. But she decided to take a look at the situation, and look what she did. She purposefully released. She went in and did what she could with her body and her emails and her talking and whatever she had. She said, let's release this. I just want to release this. She was releasing herself. She did it in front of them, but she was releasing herself. That's number two. That's forgiveness. Release it. Why do you release it? Why did you change your mind about it? Why did you look at it? Why did you release it? So it can be replaced with the truth of everything you want for them, for you. Love. Sharing.
Which was that love you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, I want to be at peace. And then there's this little thing over here somewhere. I could ignore it. I have $1 million. But now I don't want that.
Yes.
Because I've had a taste of that peace. It's pure.
Yes.
It's absolutely pure. And one little thing is like, oh, well, what's that? I want to like get rid of that. And then it doesn't matter if the other person is like, I'm calling them out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Nothing matters. Mm-hmm. It's not about anybody else.
Right.
So I really appreciate that reinforcement of look how much we're like.
be awake it or not.
There was an exercise that they do in the forum, you know, and then the S training, where you think of somebody that you have something that's a communication or a situation that's incomplete, and you write that person a letter or you call them up. And the point is that you're doing it for yourself to be whole and complete within yourself, not to expect anything back from that other person.
Nice.
Because, you know, the person may or may not accept what you say. They may not get it.
They may not. They may think you made it all up, and they may try to write it. Oh, don't worry
they
about
want
it.
Something. You want some. They might think you want something from.
They might think that. Yeah, that's right. Think you owe him.
And they could everything be like that.
The whole spectrum. But the point is, you're doing what you actually can do, which is adjusting your own thoughts to the truth.
Right.
You can't do anything for them.
Right.
They can't do anything for you. You'd be a victim if they could. This is the great news, because seek no further than your own mind. It's proven over and over, and that exercise, I'll bet, does exactly that. Especially when it really fails on the outside, but you feel better on the inside. What proof is it that it's an inside job, folks?
So
yes.
Basically, we're talking about a change of perception and forgiving the projection.
Yes. Nice.
You're forgiving the projection.
Nice.
Not making it real.
Beautiful.
It's a projection.
Beautiful.
And then number three is what?
So it can be replaced.
So it can be replaced.
And that's the holy instant.
The holy instant. Okay, so all this happens simultaneously.
It does. Okay. There's actually no time. You can stretch it out and deny that it's happening. Mm-hmm. But when the miracle occurs, all the other pieces actually are done as well. Your habitual time-based ego mind may deny them, but that's right. They actually all happen simultaneously.
It's like a shortcut to some enlightenment.
Yes.
Very shortcut.
Well, if the truth is true, you wouldn't. You actually don't really enlighten to anything. Just that, you know, we could reverse these words and make sense the other way too. But you really only awaken from the dream. You're already the truth. So it's not that we're going to...
It dawns on you.
It dawns on you.
Like the sun coming up and replacing darkness with light, because
right?
Darkness is really just the absence of light.
Yes.
So when dawn comes...
Oh, I like that.
Okay, hold your finger here and turn to page 338. I think it's 338. I'm just going to read one sentence. We'll be right back. But something like this is worth seeing in print, because we're talking about it right now.
338 in the text?
Oh, thank you. 338 in the text. 338 in the text.
Number six! Because I have it underlined, which means we've been there before.
We've been here before. It's one of my favorite sentences. Who's going to read that paragraph? Would you read that, Anthony?
Paragraph 6, page 338.
And first start with sentence 1. Yeah, 338 in the text. Start with sentence 1 and just let that soak in.
Where it says, your task is...
That's right.
Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it.
Perfect.
Course in Miracles.
You know, that... these barriers, you know, the first miracle is nothing's bigger or greater than nothing. And why do we keep thinking it's so... Well, it seems like it's big. No, it's right there. There's the answer. It's not difficult. We just... It's like, I don't want to do that! It's kind of our answer we're giving when we're looking at that. Man, you that weird barrier. You got these barriers.
That's right, the barriers.
The barrier is the problem, not the miracle. Once you get rid of the barrier, poof, done.
The barriers we think are true.
That I've had to happen one time. When I remember the miracle hit me one time. I go like this. I go, well, that was easy. It just was so fast and I'm like stunned. And I'm like, well, there is no difficult. Then why is there a problem? And then there's, you know, you realize, oh, I'm sticking up walls.
I'm not
making the choice to use the miracle.
Walls.
Yeah.
Which is a physical definition of something large and immovable.
Yeah.
Walls with your thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
illusion. How long does it take to change a thought?
This illusion wall.
Exactly.
And it, why doesn't it go away?
Now what? Why is this A Course in Miracles swan song here? Next sentence.
Next sentence.
Okay. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false.
Now that's the work that we do with A Course in Miracles. Look, the truth is true, and you are love, it says. Chapter 4 says, you know, teach only love, because that's what you are. It'll be the easiest thing for you to teach when you teach love, because it's what you are. So it'll come naturally.
Gaudiya Shanti would say, you don't have to seek for who you are.
Nice. Yeah. A Course in Miracles says, this is the one thing that you cannot do, is be other than you are. You can do anything else, though, and pretend a lot. Yeah. Yeah, my boy Adya.
Keep going?
Yes.
Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes. And the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
Oh, thank goodness. You won't be tricked into falling in love with the ego. It ain't gonna happen, Jeff. It ain't gonna happen. The gravity of true love will always be pulling on you. You will always want to return to the true love of God, which just means what is true. You always will. There will be no rest until you wake up. And you will absolutely wake up. How do you wake up? Do nothing. Learn how to do nothing. And the gravity of love will pull you into itself. It turns out to be that simple. I didn't say easy. Turned out to be that simple. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, John, for reminding me of that.
Let's talk about something to say.
Oh, please.
Thank you, Steph. So the last piece is a thought that never occurred in my mind. And so when I felt, my God, there's so much more love available. It was just bubbling. And so inside of that wholeness of love, there's a thought that arose and said, hey, honey, this is no longer your life. Right? And I so got that.
Yeah.
So got that.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
When you recognize that you are not living. You are alive, but you are not living. You are being lived. It's always been that way.
But to actually have an experience of that, you know, in here, and it was very humbling.
Nice.
And totally freed up.
Yeah.
I didn't have that burden anymore.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And from the source follows its effects. Cause and effect are not separated, we learn. And we're going to spend a lot of time on that later when we get there. But for now, you're just living through it. You were never living. You were being lived. There was times you were being lived by your ego. And it was in charge, did a great job for defense, attack, etc. And then you start living from wholeness, the Holy Spirit, from Spirit, and the joining comes. It feels so different. It feels so alive. It feels so eternal. It's a whole different experience than living from the defensive, protective ego that we've grown up with for so much. Beautiful, Misako. Very, very good realization. Thank you for sharing it with us. Good. Okay. All right, so would you continue? Did you finish that? We're reading
no,
six.
I finished it.
You did? Okay. All right.
So we're going back to 418.
Yes, we're back on 418. Thank you very much. Back to 418, and we say, we're on paragraph six, we're on sentence four, and as you look, as you, he's just hitting the hammer with the nail again, as you look on it, so it will be, you choose what you use the body for, and then that's what's going to be for you. You're not a victim. Boom. Five, death, were it true, it would be the final and complete disruption of communication, which is the ego's goal. Ego would have that communication that you were describing continue to dissolve so that we can find a victim and or some guilt and all sorts of things to make the world real. But no, you went the other way. You got the opposite. Very good. Let's go for it. Stefan, if you would, read for us paragraph 7.
Those who fear death see not how often and how loudly they call to it and bid it come to save them from communication. For death is seen as safety, the great dark savior from the light of truth, the answer to the answer, the silencer of the voice that speaks for God. Yet the retreat to death is not the end of conflict. Only God's answer is its end. The obstacle of your seeming love for death that peace must flow across seems to be very great. For in it lie hidden all the ego's secrets, all its strange devices for deception. All its sick ideas and weird imaginings. Here is the final end of union, the triumph of the ego's making over creation, the victory of lifelessness on life itself.
But it says, none of that can be true. Only God's answer is its end.
Yes.
So we believe in maybe that last part of the paragraph, but it's not true.
It's not true, and believing in it does not make it true.
Right.
But it does make for misery. There's a really sober, sober sentence in this paragraph. And I want to hit it in our last 10 minutes to make sure we get it, because we're moving on next week to the next paragraph.
Paragraph by paragraph.
I mean, we're flying through the next paragraph, so buckle your seatbelts because we're going 3 more inches for sure.
In 2 weeks we might turn a page.
Don't get ahead of yourself. Yeah.
I know we need.
Whoa, there,
hey,
whoa,
cowboy.
We're taking a little easier.
Don't we have to have lessons on page turning when that happens? Like, how do you do that? You know, is it two hands or one hand? I don't know. Forget. But so we'll look at more in this paragraph. But I want to start with this very sobering. It's printed in your book. And it is part of the lesson of why it's so important that you wake up. And it is sentence number 3 in paragraph 7, which says, yet the retreat to death. Is anybody thinking suicide?
I have a plan or two.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The retreat to death is not the end of conflict.
Piss a lot of people off.
Damn it! I thought we would just be done if I died.
Worm food.
What?
That's kind of like the source of Hinduism's karma, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, that's probably why they believe in karma. Because, you know, if you talk about reincarnation, you come back and you have to solve the same problem, only it's worse. You get, I say, God taps you on the shoulder, but if you don't pay attention, he kicks you in the butt.
Yeah, right.
So is this talking about... well, it's any denial of what was it, the full expression of
forget what it said, but you know, the full joy or whatever that was. That we're
supreme happiness?
Supreme happiness.
Oh, see, you do not remember supreme happiness as the ego. Wash that concept out of your head. It was made up.
So the retreat to death, which is any denial of supreme happiness.
There you go.
Is really like the perpetuation of conflict.
Well done. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And the only way to end the conflict is to fully embrace that supreme happiness.
I love that word, embrace. Yes. Fully embrace it. To do that, you're going to need a miracle.
A big one.
Anything less than a miracle.
They're all the same.
Anything less than a miracle will be using the same thought system that made the chaos real.
Yeah.
Look at, keep your finger here and turn to text page 583. Keep your finger here. We'll be right back. It's only a short sentence. Yeah, although, we might be
prepared. Said that.
What?
Remember you just said that.
Let me start my timer right now.
583.
583.
The dreamer of the dream. You cannot wake yourself.
Okay, here we go. Look at paragraph 10.
Again.
Man, look at this. This is great. Yeah, again. Yeah, it's not one of my favorite. It's so sobering, The Course in Miracles, sometimes. But this really helps if you're ever thinking of suicide, or you know somebody who is, or you just kind of think, God, if I just ended it all, it would just be so much better. Nothing. Emptiness would be better than this trouble, which keeps day after day, I got to keep putting up with. Why don't I just end it? If you get caught in that kind of sadness, remember what it says here. What could you choose between but life or death? Waking or sleeping? What could you choose among between peace or war? What could you choose among except for your dreams or your reality? Sentence 2. There is a risk of thinking death is peace, because the world equates the body with the self, which God created. Yet a thing can never be its opposite, and death is the opposite to peace, because it's the opposite to life. That's what death is. It would be an exercise in the impossible, because you are life. And we just said, thank you, Mark, there's the one thing in Adyashanti, there's in Course in Miracles, and one thing you can't be is other than yourself. You can't not be what you are. See, because you are that. That's why the Course in Miracles says, it says, and this is a quote.
Damn.
I know. It says, the truth is true, and nothing else is true, and this may be the hardest lesson you ever learn. The first part you get. The truth is true. Of course. Come on, what are we? Third graders here? Record scratched, comma. Nothing else is true. Only the truth is true. We tend to think the truth is true out of it when we're peaceful and calm and we're in a good space and you just finished reading your favorite book or you see your favorite teacher. But you're still holding things that aren't true as true. You're still holding those things, those defenses, those attacks, those
beliefs
that we just described tonight as death, all the other types of loss, any kind of limit or victimhood, it's really death. But any of these types of loss, you're still holding out as true, even though you can say, oh yes, I love the truth. It's probably the hardest lesson you'll ever learn, the absolute nature of the truth is enlightenment.
No wiggle room.
None wanted.
Too bad, you're free.
Too bad, you're free. And you are supremely happy. Mere mortal happiness, not good enough. Oh, thank goodness. What I always dreamed of.
It's a kind of a scary thought on some level to me. In my mind, I don't like the idea that I have done that, but it's necessary that I am that.
Well, I am.
And it's like, it's not, I always want an escape, but now.
Yes, very good.
And the out is in. Thank God.
Yes. Because you've been practicing this as a promise to yourself for longer than you know. Very hard to give up something you've been so dedicated to. We talked about this last week where, well, I'm not sure we did, but you know when you get in line at Costco and the other line seems to be going faster?
Every line is going faster.
Every time! You apologize?
I change like four lines, I just give up at some point, and now I'm sitting there. If I go to the register as a problem, go to the other one, this person, and I'm like,
I'm the first one solved.
I just give up. Somebody comes behind me, I go, y'all wouldn't stand in my line. Forget it.
Wrong line. If I'm ahead of you, you are the wrong line.
It's a rule.
It's a rule, right? You got it too?
You get into the shortest line, you think it's going to be going the fastest, you're going to wait the longest.
You too?
Just grab one of the tabloids.
I thought it was just me. What?
Give up your card.
I said, just grab one of the tabloids and read.
So there's a saying.
You can do that.
Right? Other people like taking score on what line I should be in. No time to read. I got to be guilty about not choosing what I said I was going to go in the first line over there and I didn't do it. Oh, I knew I was right, but now I'm wrong.
Now I'm different. Now I'm that line. It's not moving. I'm like, this is my line.
But if I go now, I'll miss out on this one going faster.
This can not anymore. Now this can take all day. I sit there like, what's next? Because I'm in the right line now.
So we've all been there? Everybody been there?
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Look how common it is.
Yeah, all the time. Murphy's Law.
This is a key. It's a way to bust the ego. It's just another way the ego shows itself. The dynamics of the ego are shown in the Costco line.
And then you dream about someone opening another register and pulling you out of the line.
Great dream.
Yeah.
That never happened.
Sometimes that does happen. Yeah. Boy, I feel good when it does.
I'm keep score too. I keep looking at the other lines of where I would have been.
Yes.
And guess what? Everybody's already gone.
I memorize that person.
Like, oh, there's gone. Gone.
I never do that.
I do.
Yeah, he does. Oh, he does.
I know.
We all do.
If you do it, then you're going to get what you expect.
Yes.
Well, thank God that that's true.
Yeah.
Because I really want what I expect.
Yes.
It doesn't want to be one way or the other. It just is what it is.
Well, that's nice. It's a very peaceful way to live.
I can't lose this way. I know I'm in this line. It's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
I'm correct again.
So you know what happens? So that's right. So you got what you deserve.
That's right. Now there's no competition. Can't beat me at this. I'm expert at this.
Ego is validated. What you get.
Yep, indeed.
There's an illusion of he's in control.
That's right.
Yeah.
When I go to a four-way stop, I go, everybody gets to go before me.
Uh-huh. You're the one that does that.
Right. Santa Cruz. We're just waiting for each other to go in Santa Cruz. Yeah, try San Jose.
As long as you don't get behind Stefan, right?
Now, they just did a study last month where they took animals, rats, I think it was it monkeys? Might have been monkeys. I think it was also rodents. And they had them do a certain pattern to get the food. And they showed them that there was another way. The other rodents were getting food faster if you just do what they're doing. But no, they stuck to what they were doing. They already committed, just like us in line at the store. And we tend to stay with the commitment only because we're doing it and for no other reason than I'm in this line, I'm going to stay in this line. This is my line now.
Yeah,
they show it's part of the animal. It just says it's part of the ego world, right? They're all part of the world. I just thought I'd share that with you because it's such a dynamic of the ego. Ego's everywhere. Okay. There we did it. All right, can we actually leave this paragraph behind?
Which one are you talking about? 418 or
583? Yeah, we got to do 418. So 418... So that's what I said. We're going to hit that one sentence. We did. And we're going to leave it behind for next week. Because we covered it. Okay, good. Let's have a circle. You who are life, I said, you who are life, celebrate with me this little expression of life. Take a deep breath. That's a celebration, you who just did that. Now this world will continue for the rest of your time in this body as you are exercising your choice in this body. The world will show you lots of death. It's going to be lots of little ones and then a couple of big ones and all sorts of ways it will try to teach you loss. But I hope we're picking up as we go through these paragraphs that every thought that you have is a creation. And you will live it. You will live it. You are a creator. You are a son of God. You are an extension of God. That's all we mean by son. An extension of what is. And so the incorruptible body is spirit. And all thoughts that we have of something non-spirit, material nature, look where they come from. They come from your choices, from your spirit. So going forth, let us live. Let us recognize that we live, even as we die in the body, we live on. For we just read, there is a hazard in thinking death is peace. There's a hazard of thinking death is peace. And I'll quote you one more thing we didn't get to tonight. It's a very short sentence. And it says, this world is not left by death, comma, but by understanding. That's how you leave this world. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Nice.
Good job, everybody. Thanks for your contributions.
That's cool, man.
Good ending.
Yeah,
right. For a great meeting.